Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
One of those realizations when you realize it, told Mac during the break, Yankees aren't in town.
No, they're on the road. They're heading to Cleveland.
Smart.
Yeah. So the Mets will be home.
Ah, well, they could be home anyway.
Yeah. They already are.
I told Mac, I'm like, have you ever seen Men in Black? And he's like, oh, yeah, for sure. I'm like, the guy that's like the bug guy, the main villain. I was like, that's Private Pyle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's also in Law and Order.
Yeah, I saw that text. Got to watch that. Yeah. Apparently, he's great in Law & Order. I mean, he was fantastic in that movie. He's great in Men in Black, too. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, my gosh, yes.
I have a hard time watching him, I'll be honest with you, just because of that movie.
Oh, I mean,
it's funny how intense. Characters change the actor for you.
And then Matthew Modine would have a career as well. As you know, he's in the Dark Knight Rises. He's the, like, commissioner of – not the commissioner of police chief, but he's, like, one of the guys. And they go to his house, like, what are you doing? Like when Gordon shows his head, I'm not going out there.
Oh,
he's like,
wow.
You're the face of police. You better get out there. And then he goes out there and dies in the streets. Yeah, Modine was like a big 80s actor as well.
Was anybody more, I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for, on their game in 80s movies than Steve Guttenberg?
He's pretty good.
I mean, I watched Molly Police Ringwald. Academy the other day for whatever reason. I caught the end of it, like the last half hour of the first Police Academy. And I'm like, Steve Guttenberg was in everything. Back in those days, like literally everything.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Three Men and a Baby, every Police Academy.
Well, and then it's
movie.
Funny, he's in the movie It Takes Two in the 90s with the Olsen twins, and he's with Kirstie Alley.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both, you know, she's in Look Who's Talking with Travolta and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, Guttenberg was big in the 80s, I would say. Molly Ringwald's probably up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of names out there that we're not thinking of, but when you think of the 80s, you think of, like, yeah, Steve Guttenberg definitely had himself a run.
Mm-hmm. The City Hall of New York has just announced another Knicks watch party.
Oh, good.
Capacity at 5,000 at Bryant Park. Free registration is required. This is in addition to a 5,000 watch party at Woolman Rink and another one at Brooklyn Bowl, so they've got these 5,000 people watch parties set up outside all over New York City tonight.
Also, have you seen Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, another good one, yeah.
I've not seen that one.
You can add that to the queue.
Yeah.
That's Sir Anthony Hopkins' greatest film he's ever done.
Yeah, if you've got 913-586-7965, what's the next Max summer movie? Let's get some choices in here.
Maybe that should just be our new poll question. We'll just put four movies up, and whatever wins,
yeah.
That's what you
got
to watch.
Well, what are you looking for now? I mean, that was an intense movie. Let's not kid ourselves, right?
It was.
That thing, Full Metal Jacket Mac watched, if you missed his review last segment, we talked about it. Intense. Very, very intense movie. So do you want something that's going to give you a little bit of a break?
maybe we could lax it up a bit this time, then go back to intense. Yeah. I mean, I'm down with whatever, though. I just want some classics. Cable Guy's great. We can
Cable
do a
Guy's
sports
a good
movie.
One. Yeah.
If you've got a classic
Liar,
sports movie.
Liar Liar's a good one with Maller's producer starring in it. So you can talk to Ben about that. Let's see what else is out there that's pretty good. I don't know. There's a lot of great movies out there. We'll figure it out. We'll get you going all week long.
Well, KU needs to figure it out. They lost game one, what, 8-2?
8-1.
Yeah. They're down 8-1 in the third inning as that game was postponed yesterday. You were there.
Yeah, we're going back up after the show today to see the Nooner. To get a little Nooner and Lawrence. Been a while since I had a Nooner and Lawrence, if you know what I mean. Lunch. So we're going to go up there, watch the end of this game. But, I mean, last night it was really cool being up there for this baseball program. And and seeing the fans really buying in and the positivity that the Kansas fans have, even down 8-1 yesterday, it was like, yeah, we'll find a way. We'll be fine. And I love that. I love that. It reminds me kind of a little bit, very small way, of Chiefs fans. Ah, we'll be fine. And for an organization that really hasn't done much except for the last 2 years, right? I mean, it's been since 93 since Kansas was in the College World Series. It was a lot of fun being up in Lawrence. And so we'll go back up today and watch the last six innings of, you know, that first game and see what happens. But it's a tough hole to climb out of being down 8-1 early on in a ballgame. But it's early in the game, and you still got your opportunity to come back. The only thing that really does suck about this, though, Kansas isn't the home team.
That's how many people from Oklahoma?
No, that's how it works. Yeah. Just because you're playing at home doesn't mean you're the home team.
Yes, yeah.
Now, if it goes to a game three, they'll be the home team. So they get two of the three as the home team. But today you're down at, you like to have those last licks, you know,
and
you don't have that opportunity to do so. So it was fun. No, it was great to kind of be up there and really just remember what postseason baseball is all about and how every single pitch matters, man. It's great.
Would be awesome if they came back and won the game today, because then you get a Game 3 elimination game because the College World Series start in Omaha on Friday. Mm-hmm. I sent you a text this weekend because I'm like, I don't know how much Twitter you do on the weekends, but Manny Machado said this.
I just wish we can get the analytics out the way. I think there's too many stats out there, too many stats, way too many numbers. I don't even know half of the stuff that goes up there. See, I look at the board sometimes and I'm like, man, I even asked some of the guys, like, what is WCCVBB, whatever it is, like, what are these names that are being created? You know, I mean, it's just crazy to even keep up with.
Weighted expected on base percentage?
Is it? Is that what it is? Yeah, what is that?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. I mean, the pitching stuff, like FIP or something like that, I think, right?
Fielding independent pitching.
Yeah, like what is that?
That's taking out the defense to say this guy.
All right, so why would you have that stat?
Isn't baseball how much of a stud a guy really is?
Yeah, but it takes a team to win a ball game, and not just one person. One person could be that guy, right? So one person could carry a team, but this is a team sport. You don't win a championship by just one player. It takes a whole damn village to do it. So why are we creating these stats for? You know, I think that's the problem with baseball right now.
I don't disagree with a damn thing he said. Bravo, Manny. I feel like the war on analytics is very heavy this year, guys. I really do. Not just from Bob Fesco, but I feel like around baseball, we're seeing a lot of the war on analytics because I think players are done with this nonsense because, as he talks about, you're giving us all this information. It's clouding our judgment. That's why I told Nick Prado years ago, just swing, man. Just hit the C ball, hit ball. Stop worrying about all of the other stuff that's around it and just go out there and play baseball. And I do. I think that's really where it's come for a lot of these guys. And it's good to hear Manny Machado and others kind of voice this stuff because I don't think players like playing this style of baseball. It's not interesting. It's not an entertaining style of baseball either.
So buckle up and hold on real quick. There's a few things. I'll take the opposite side.
Yeah.
But I'm going to agree in a weird way. And I think Matt can kind of jump on this train as well. Manny Machado is the second worst hitter in baseball.
Oh, yeah, right, he's not doing well, yes.
So for him to kind of do that debunks a little bit. Analytics are everywhere. Now, here's the discussion. Analytics is a word, and this is credit to Mac Morey, is a word that people just use as a buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say analytics are sometimes overused in certain situations. But we use analytics in everything in life and in every sporting event that we watch. Analytics are there. The tush push would be an example for that. RPOs would [S2] Right. [S1] Be an example of that. You know, how you line up on fourth down. Fourth down analytics is 100%. In 1990, if it was fourth and one, you never went for it. Mm-hmm. I say never, you know, facetiously. The percentage of people going for it. And then analytically, it was like, well, the percentage of getting 1 yard in the NFL is actually this, whether it's first, second, third, or fourth down, you should be able to percentage-wise get this. That is analytics 101.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is I don't think the analytics should fully run your team.
Not at all, no.
Now, we know that we hear this argument a lot with the Royals lineup, like, oh, well, this guy against lefties on, you know, this sort of day coming off this sort of rest, this sometimes that gets too much, and I will agree to that. But I think there's a lot of people that just use the word analytics and they don't really have the reasoning behind it or know what the definition of it is. I think you should have analytics. Like the other night, how about this? Kyle Isbell bunted with two strikes. Analytically, they would tell you to never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle Isbell is so damn good at bunting that he did that on his own.
Yeah.
And it was successful. But that's not analytics. Analytics would tell you not to bunt.
Oh, not to bunt.
With two
no, yeah, not to bunt. No.
Common sense would tell you not to bunt with two strikes, right? Yeah. But that was Kyle Isbell going with feel, not number.
Right.
So it does happen. You just don't choose to watch it or you don't choose to soak it in. But there are people and teams and organizations that might lean heavily too much on analytics, and that can be a problem.
Yes.
Like, this guy's never thrown more than 90 pitches. Analytically, that would say, you know what? He shouldn't go out there. Well, you don't know that, and right now he has one hit in seven innings and eight strikeouts.
Right.
Why don't you just let him do it? And then if the numbers show that he can't do it, now you have that statistical proof that says he probably shouldn't go out there for the eighth inning and go over 90 pitches. But until you don't know that, you don't know.
But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. And that's kind of, you know, where I am on it, too. It's like it feels like you have to be either 100% on analytics or 100% the other way, though. I feel like we've created this divide in our sports country, just like we have in our regular country. It's like it's either one side or the other, and there's no middle ground anymore. I feel like that's kind of where we've gotten to, and you've got people on both sides just clashing heads when I say, I don't care anymore. I don't want anything that you have to say about you. You need some of this analytical stuff, some of these numbers. Like,
yeah.
I do like, what is this guy hitting against this pitcher if there's a good sample size? But you can't let numbers take over common sense. And that's what Tampa Bay did in the Bubble World Series. They allowed analytics to take over common sense when Blake Snell was rolling along. Guys, we've seen Q make some really bad decisions over the last 2 weeks. Really bad decisions over the last 2 weeks. And you took a hot guy out of the lineup, replaced him with somebody who wasn't getting the job done, continuing to go to Urseg for all of those times when you shouldn't have. Even yesterday, you go to Urseg and he gives up the only inherited runner, scores. Like, that's not analytics. That's eyes going, this guy just doesn't have it anymore. I can't put him in these type of situations. That has nothing to do with analytics. That has to do with a feel. And I think a lot of times the analytics side just takes over the feel side, and we forget that it's just a game and we're dealing with athletes. We're not dealing with scientists. We're not dealing with doctors. We're dealing with athletes who at the end of the day just want to go out there and play baseball. And sometimes this analytic stuff prevents them from going out there and playing baseball at their fullest because they're thinking, they're not executing. And when you have players thinking and not executing, you're 15 games under 500, you're hitting 169, you're doing all of this stuff that you're not used to. We've got to get these players comfortable. And quite honestly, Dusty, to your point as well, it should be on a case-by-case basis. If you want those numbers and all that kind of stuff, great, you have them. And if I'm a player who doesn't want that stuff, please don't give it to me. As long as I'm doing my job and putting up the numbers that I'm expected, don't give me stuff that I don't want.
Yeah, you guys, we should ask Vern what he thinks about these comments. I'd love to hear his thoughts.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Josh Verner next on the 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Vernier.
That's right. It's our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. You're going to join us now. He gets an off day, much needed. Gets a nice little Monday off. Vern, Mac just watched Full Metal Jacket for the first time. What do you take away from that movie, sir?
Yeah, terrific movie. I think I've only seen it a couple of times. Certainly not one that I can cite verbatim.
Yeah. What should be another movie Mac should watch on Vern's list?
Any movie?
Yeah.
Well, my favorite movie is probably Almost Famous. Great so if movie. He hasn't seen Almost Famous and he likes classic rock, I would recommend that.
Yeah, he'd love that because that movie absolutely bangs, dude. That soundtrack, the storyline
behind Hudson,
it, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm a Greek Smash. God. Is that what he says when he's on top of the roof? I forget what he says.
I'm a golden god.
Golden god, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's a great
so
cast, damn.
Vern, I got to ask you, did you happen to listen to Manny Machado's words that he had about
it? I didn't.
Okay, you didn't.
I heard you guys talking analytics, but I did not hear Manny's quote.
Would you like me to play it for you?
Sure, yeah, please.
I just wish we can get the analytics out the way. I think there's too many stats out there, too many too many stats, way too many numbers. I don't even know half of the stuff that goes up there. See, I look at the board sometimes, and I'm like, man, I even ask some of the guys, like, what is WCCVBB, whatever it is? Like, what are these names that are being created? You know, I mean, it's just crazy to even keep up with.
Weighted expected on base percentage?
Is it? Is that what it is? Yeah, what is that?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. I mean, the pitching stuff, like, FIP or something like that, I think, right?
Fielding independent pitching.
Yeah, like, what is that?
That's taking out the defense to say this guy.
All right, so why would you have that stat?
To isn't baseball show how much of a stud a guy really is?
Yeah, but it takes a team to win a ball game, and not just one person. One person could be that guy, right? So one person could carry a team, but this is a team sport. You don't win a championship by just one player. It takes a whole damn village to do it. So why are we creating these stats for? You know, I think that's the problem with baseball right now.
So there you go, Mr. Vern.
Yeah, I guess I don't really know what the point is. I mean, all sports have numbers that I don't understand or really care about. Manny, you're going to the Hall of Fame, man. You don't need to worry about whatever he's talking about, FIP or weighted on base percentage. Well, then don't pay attention to it. I mean, it's not being forced down anybody's throat. Who cares, right? Like, what's the context? What am I commenting on?
Well, I think he's probably, you know, wondering why he's hitting 169 this year. And you know, the question was asked, I guess. I wish I heard the whole interview, quite honestly, with you, Vern, the whole, you know, one in front of his locker where reporters are just asking, you know, the questions about him. And to Manny's point, I'm listening to, and obviously I agree with everything he says, but I think what needs
but
to
what
be
But what is
done,
he saying? Like, well, we need FIP to get isn't a part of game planning. It's not a part of...
Yeah, I think he
what coaches are telling players, like it's
yeah, I think he
it's
was just
something
making
for
up
the
noise.
Nerds on the outside.
Yeah,
well,
it
who
is.
Cares?
But how much of this is getting, you know, given to the players? And it sure
whatever
seems,
they ask for.
It sure
that's
seems like
what a
Manny's,
hitting coach does.
Yeah, we sure seem like Manny's saying though is like, man, they're giving us all this information. We don't want it anymore. And
well, then get a better hitting coach. Get better coaches. If coaches are giving players statistics, analytics, pre-game prep that they don't want, well, then you're not doing your job as a coach. The only job a coach has is to wait hand and foot on these players. Give them whatever they need whenever they need it. If they're saying no more analytics and you keep giving them analytics, you're not doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
So, Manny, there isn't anybody more important in that entire organization than you. You can tell them, you can tell your coaching staff what you want to see and what you don't want to see. Maybe not on the Jumbotron, okay?
Right.
I heard him mention the Jumbotron. Oh, okay, maybe not there, mm-hmm. because some fans want to see, you know, whatever statistic you're making up. But it's not as if, no, get over here. I'm making you look at your weighted runs created. No, that's just not how it works.
Yeah, Bob Nightingale would go on to tweet about it and saying, someone's going to lose their job with Manny Machado's struggles. He is now hitting 169 with a 5.96 OPS nearly halfway through the season as the Padres are still in a free fall. That, again, is Bob Nightingale. What I want to get with Josh Verner is, thought it was a good weekend with the W's. Obviously, you take 2 out of 3 for Cincinnati. You take 3 out of 4 from the Twins. But, boy, do those injuries pile up quickly with Jack in the wall with the shoulder, Bobby with the right knee soreness, and then Salvador Perez with the thumb injury. Mm-hmm. Vern, is this just going to be a little blip, or is this one of those, thank God they got an off day Monday and should see some progress on Tuesday?
Well, you feel good about Bob, at least reading what he had to say to Annie Rogers after the game. Mm-hmm. You feel good about him. Salvi's a warrior. He'll come out of this. But it's not as if Salvi, you know, Barkley always says, old people don't get healthier.
Yeah.
Salvi's getting older and, you know, the hips have been barking all year. So now a busted up thumb doesn't help. Jack's a horse. He'll be just fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you're receiving good news on the Chris Bubich and Cole Reagans and Carlos Estevez front. But honestly, by the time those guys get back, barring something unforeseen from this team, by the time those guys get back, the only thing I'm interested in is them proving to other general managers that we're ready to help you down the stretch, right? When Chris Bubich comes back, it's about flipping him.
Yep.
If Carlos Estevez returns before the trade deadline, you're begging that he looks good so you can flip him. And as far as Cole Reagans, when he returns, you know, we'll see what the rotation looks like. But I don't want Lewinder Avila going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Noah Cameron doesn't deserve to go anywhere. Neither does Steven Kolek. Waka and Lugo are your two highest paid players. This bullpen's in shambles. I'd like to see Cole Reagans maybe ease back into the big leagues coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and Vern, that's kind of where I am with you now. You can get positive results from a season that has already dissipated, and that means trading some of these guys and hopefully getting some guys back that can help your minor league system right now. Because when you look at, you know, the rankings across the board, whether it's Baseball America, MLB.com, ESPN.com, they're all in the bottom third. So they can take some of these guys, hopefully, and maybe get a prospect or two that can maybe help move this thing forward. But I don't want a little winning against the Twins and Reds to cloud what still is right. An unforeseen season that stinks right now that prevents you from maybe making trades because you're trying to hang on to being relevant in September when we all know we're past that point now.
And that's what you're going to – and you know this, Bob. That's what you're still going to hear from the organization. They're right. Not going to – openly admit that we're waving a white flag. They're going to give this team, I would think, a little bit longer, right? Another month before they, I think, start pulling the trigger on these trades. Chris Bubich, to me, of the expiring contracts, is the guy that could bring you the most back in return. The rest of these expiring contracts, from Strom to Lane Thomas, John Schreiber, Starling Marte, maybe you can find needle in the haystack, and you find some unheralded prospect that comes here and takes off. But to your point, yeah, Bob, and I mentioned this on the postgame show yesterday, to the optimistic Royals fans that see this recent run in which they've won 5 of 7, and now, you're excited, you're buying back in, they're calling the postgame show. They're acknowledging that we are only 5.5 games back of that final wild card. That's all well and good. So I'm not trying to necessarily snuff out your excitement. I'll give the team this: they've at least forced some Royals fans to at least pay attention on this homestand. Had they lost that game yesterday, I understand if people are just completely checked out. But the return at home, 6 games, 3 with the Rangers, 3 with the Astros. I understand if people want to hang in there, give them this week, see what they can do, because you still have 2 months until the trade deadline, a mm-hmm. month until the All-Star game. I know the front office keeps pointing to the fact that this rotation's giving us a chance every single day, and they certainly are. 33 quality starts in 66 games. But my question is, are we now going to bank on this rotation over the final 96 games to give you, 48 quality starts? I just can't do that.
Dude, yeah, I mean, my God.
81 quality starts. We're banking on them to have 50% of the games they turn in a quality start. They've already done that, and you fumbled it, right? You had an opportunity because of that rotation, and you were unable to capitalize. I can't expect it to continue for the final 3 months of the season.
Yeah, that's crazy. Daniel Lynch is another name Dusty's talked about, and I've seen some conspiracy theories on Twitter from people, and I'm just going to bring them up to you because I think they're funny, but maybe there is some truth to it. Are they not putting him in high leverage situations because they don't want to risk it because of the trade value?
No. Lynch is still facing the biggest names in the opposing lineup, right? When we saw him on Saturday, he faced the 1-2-3 hitters of the Minnesota Twins. Time before that, he's facing the middle of the lineup. He's not getting the ninth inning, sure, but when the best bats are coming to the dish in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, that's the lane for Daniel Lynch. Now, I do think there is, I don't know if it's concern, but I do think that the organization wonders if Daniel Lynch truly is a closer. I don't believe that they do.
Sure.
I don't think that they view him as one of the 30 best relievers in the sports, but they are putting him in higher leverage situations, certainly higher than they are Matt Strom or John Schreiber or really anybody else outside of the guy that's trying to pick up those final 3 outs of the game. But Daniel Lynch, certainly a name that could be moved because it's hard to envision his value being any higher than it is right now.
Vern, I want to bring this up to you because you know we're both gambling degenerates, so we know the saying of whales and gazelles when it comes to betting, right? Either move first.
No.
You don't know that saying. Okay, so like the whales would wait until Sunday about 11 o'clock to make their bet for the Sunday ticket, whereas gazelles move quicker, obviously. They do the bets before the lines can shift, before the injuries come out, or who doesn't practice, right? So when it comes to the trade deadline, which is Monday, August 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central time, are the Royals going to be whales or gazelles? Do you think they move quickly with the trade deadline, or do you think they move at the end of that trade deadline?
Yeah, that's a good question. JJ's track record says the latter, that they will act quickly. But you also need the owner to turn the key as well. Right, he needs to acknowledge or allow the general manager to wave a white flag on a season in which, you know, this owner is spending more than the first place Guardians and the first place Rays and the Athletics, who are still in the mix in the American League West. Now, personally, yeah, they should be gazelles, right? I mean, Vinny had a nice road trip. You know, he hit, 325 across the 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, I mentioned this on the post-game show. Man, if I would have told you on opening day that Bobby Witt Jr. is the front runner for the American League MVP, that the rotation is giving you a quality start in 50% of the games, and that Carter Jensen leads the team in RBIs, I don't know about you, but I would think this team's in first place.
Yep.
The fact that they're not, to me, comes back to four things: Vinny, Salvi, the bullpen, and the injuries. Those four things. Does this organization believe that those four things can be fixed, rectified in the next 2 months? I don't. And that's why I just don't see how they could be anything other than gazelles.
Yeah.
What's the over-under you'd put on players that the Royals would move? I'll give you 3.5.
Over.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You're going to take the over. Okay. So yeah. Rank them for us, Vern, like who you think they were going to move first, and then who has the most value second?
Well, Bubic has the most value.
Okay.
Well, of guys that I think actually will be moved.
I mean, obviously okay. Bobby has value. Yeah.
And even Waka. Waka has more value than Bubic, but I don't think he's going to be moved. So I'll say Bubic. Lane Thomas has to go. His ability against left-handed hitting. We'll get him shipped out of here. If John Schreiber can keep it up, I think he's a goner. He's a free agent to be.
Okay.
Again, Daniel Lynch's stock, I can't imagine, is ever going to be higher. I think you move on from him.
What about Matt Vinny?
Yeah, to me, Vinny's value is too low right now.
But with the Yankees needing a bat, you know, with Judge being out.
I don't think Vinny's that bad.
Okay.
You know, because they have Ben Rice.
Yeah.
Ben right now might be the American League MVP. He's holding it down at first base.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see where Vinny fits in.
Okay. Just a bat as a designated hitter off the bench or whatever. You know, I'm just trying to think of, like, if you trade Vinny, then you can move Jack to first base, and that problem is now solved, you know?
I like Jack and Wright.
I do too, but
I think he's a very good defender out there. You can find first baseman.
Okay,
I think it's tougher to find that arm and that athleticism out in right field. So I think I keep Cags out there.
Okay.
No, I'm not taking nickels on the dollar for Vinny Pasquantino. And, this team already lacks, in my opinion, lacks leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Vinny hasn't been holding up his end of the bargain this season as far as production. He has been as far as trying to use his voice despite hitting around 200. But, man, the ripple effect of that type of move, not only on this year's team but on next year's team, I don't know if the guys inside that clubhouse have the ability to recover if you trade away a Vinny Pasquantino,
gotcha.
Not to mention the amount of just how low his stock is right now.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. When you're saying that, it kind of reminds me of everybody wanted Guthrie cut in 2015, and somebody said to me, "You go tell the other players we're getting rid of that guy and see how it goes." You know,
right. But hopefully Vinny's. You look at what he did on this road trip. More walks than strikeouts, 6 multi-hit games in that 10-day stretch. We know he's a good hitter, so I understand people are probably getting on me all, Vern, you're a homer and all. Vinny has 4 years of big league evidence that he's a good hitter. He needs to do it more than just 10 games on the road, no doubt about it. He needs to do it against left-handed pitching as well, no question. But he at least has a track record to where I can point to this road trip and say, that looks like the Vinny Pasquantino I fell in love with years ago.
You would also mention Carlos Estevez, and if he can come back and show something, that's a pretty big name that would put you over big time on the 3.5 number.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Throw Carlos in there, no question about it, but I just have so little expectation for him. To return, what he's going to look like when he returns, that just might be a total loss for 2026. But yeah, if he can come back and throw strikes and save a couple games, man, you flip him to a team in contention. I think what's going to be disappointing about it is the team that brings in your closer, Carlos Estevez, will likely throw him in the 6th or 7th inning.
I would assume you'd like to see 4-2 on this homestand.
You know, I just want to see good baseball. You know,
I hear you.
Throw strikes, execute, make the fundamental play. Just play quality baseball. Hey, and keep Bobby healthy, please.
Yeah, let's have a little fun. We got about a minute left. What does Vern do on an off day?
All the things I've been putting off. Hopefully, hopefully. Okay. I mean, I'm just such a procrastinator. I'll probably end up sitting down, watching MLB Network, falling asleep, waking up, and going, well, it's almost time for the NBA Finals. We'll put it off to the next off day.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
You got the Spurs tonight, or you got the Knicks just going ahead?
Man,
and
last week, it's Wemby's league and all that, and then the Knicks and Cat just come out and dominate. So
it's the Knicks league now, right?
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter what I say. I'm happy for you, Bob. I'm happy for Knicks fans. I hope you guys finish it off.
It's going to be so much. Everybody's going to have fun when the Knicks win this thing, and we all watch the celebration. You just know it's going to be wall-to-wall of just glory.
It's just hard to dislike anybody on that team, too.
That's the other thing. I mean, a New York team where everybody's likable and the entire country's rooting for them, I mean, it's crazy.
Even the fans. I don't know if there's a fan. Like Ben Stiller and Tracy Morgan, even Spike Lee and Timothy Shabblegoop. I mean, they're all pretty easy to root for.
Yeah, they don't have that hated super fan, you know?
Right. It's like the Royals back in the day. Yeah. Everybody loved the Paul Rudd and all those guys out on the field.
And everybody loves Josh Springer. At least Dusty
Likens. That's not true.
Well, are they
hating you now, Vern? Because the team's losing? It's your fault again?
Well, it's back and forth. Friday, I was the most negative person in the city. And yesterday, I wasn't telling the truth. I was being too
optimistic. Oh, yeah, you're not going to win. Right. So you're doing your job. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, why don't you sleep on that off day? There we go. Vern, we appreciate you. That's our Royals insider, Josh Springer, here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, we get into, the craziest thing we see here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals Baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it again with the 8 o'clock block here on 96.5 The Fan. So there's a tweet out there that says the 5 nastiest single pitches in baseball history: Mariano Rivera's cut fastball, Sandy Koufax's curveball, Randy Johnson's slider, Pedro's changeup, Nolan Ryan's fastball. I just quoted and said Steven Spector could hit all three of these, or all these pitches. Don't worry, he responded, I could hit Mariano's cutter. You are correct.
Yeah, he said that for years. Do you see this video that Barstool is circulating right now of Wemby sitting in Central Park just drawing?
Sick.
What?
I don't hate that.
I don't either. I love it.
Clear your mind and turn it off for a little bit until you have to turn it on tonight in game 3, because if you don't tonight, then y'all are looking at a sweep.
That is crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah, I just re-X that.
Yeah, that's not AI. That is real.
That's crazy, right? That's beautiful, though. I absolutely love it, and it's one of the things that is trending right now.
Shocked he was able to get there.
On X, what do you mean? At Gramercy Park? Why are you
I'm just shocked he's being able to be out in public right now.
Oh, no, but it's New York. If this was like, you know, Cincinnati, everybody would be all over him. But New York, they're like, oh, that's just another celebrity. I think that maybe, so that's just a tall man. Who knows who that is, right? Like, Dusty can now attest. It's just different, right, in New York than it is anywhere else. You see
but
a big,
it's the
tall.
The Knicks in the finals.
That's a fair point.
I know it's New York, but it's this, still. I thought, like, Kevin Garnett had his whole rant before the series started. Shout out KG, called this series Knicks gonna kick their ass.
Yep.
Experience Wimby will get there, but it's not yet. And his little thing was like, have fun sitting in the apartment in New York. You ain't going out. You ain't gonna be able to go out. You may be able to do all that stuff. So I'm surprised he's able to do that. It's cool.
No, actually,
it's awesome.
I'll disagree with Kevin Garnett on that one at all. Like, New York is the one place you can go out because there's so many other stars and celebrities there. It's not a big deal. Like I said, if Wemby's walking around Cincinnati, everybody's bothered.
Of course,
you could absolutely get lost in New York City. Remember, there are the Knicks fans, but there are still 8 million people that live in Manhattan by itself. I will promise you, all 8 million of those are not Knicks fans or NBA fans or sports fans.
Know what's going on.
And even know what's going on. Again, the beauty of New York. That's why you can just go out there and do that, you know?
Yeah, it's also time and place, too, right? Like, that photo could have changed in 5 minutes when somebody's like, I'm pretty sure that's...
Yeah, exactly.
Because they may not know his name, but they'd be like, isn't that tall basketball player that plays for the Spurs? Yeah. Either way, if the Knicks win this series, we are going to see a ton of celebrations in New York. And somebody on X said, someone's going to climb the Empire State Building tonight.
and you can absolutely see that, right? Somebody trying to scale the Empire State Building. So I ask you guys, what do you think the craziest thing we're going to see when the Knicks win this thing, right? Are we going to see people jump off bridges, right? Are we going to see that? Are we going to see people scale the building, swim in the rivers? Like, what do you think is the craziest thing that somebody's going to attempt to do if the Knicks win this thing? Because, again, this is unprecedented. We are going to see things that we have never seen before. And a guy trying to climb up the Empire State Building on the outside, I'm here for this.
Somebody's going to try to swim to the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I can see that.
I'm going to go be with Lady Liberty.
You're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Light poles is like elementary here. Like, we're way past light
poles.
That's
Philly. New Yorkers probably won't do that just because it's Philly.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, something with a subway. Somebody's going to get on top of a subway car, right, and ride that thing through the tunnels, right?
Because I remember when we went and saw the garden, and it was, what, 8:45 in the morning?
If it was even that late at that time.
It was packed. Like, I mean, people were still kind of getting ready to start their day.
Well, it's the train station, too, right. So everybody comes in and out of there.
And that's not even with the finals being there. So I can only imagine what that area is going to look like when it comes. Because, like, you look around, you're like, okay, like, Fifth Avenue is going to look like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like,
I mean, yeah, it is.
You're going to have people on the Macy's building hanging out on ledges, and you're going to have that one guy again, you know, my Christian Dior, my Nixon Four, right, all that sort of stuff. That, you know, that happening again. It'll be very interesting to see kind of like what the vibe will be afterwards, because so far what we've seen is that it's going to be great, and obviously things are going to be different tonight because there happened to be a certain individual that's at the game that's making no fun for anybody else,
right?
Because of course he is. But
right.
Again, that's just the way the world works. But I think that, you know, I wouldn't be against it to say that somebody's on top of the garden.
Oh, I love that one too. All right, here's what's gonna like tonight, and I'm getting so excited about some of this stuff.
King Kong outfit.
That's right. Somebody gets in the King Kong outfit and scales the Empire State Building.
And then take like a drone around him, like it's the plane trying to get Kong.
Yes.
I love it. I will say this though: don't try to get a cab or an Uber in New York, because I just think the streets are going to be mass with people. Like, that game's going to empty out. Everybody's going to be coming out of their houses.
My question is, when do they go away?
They don't. Yeah, because if they win this thing
Thursday
in four,
morning?
No, I think the parade's Friday.
Okay,
because if they win it in four, Wednesday would be game four.
And what's
right?
the route of the parade?
The Canyon of Heroes. It's been so long. It's down Broadway, I believe, into kind of like Wall Street, that area down there. They throw all the ticker tape down there. So if they win this thing on Wednesday, then most likely the parade is on Friday. Look for tickets on Thursday after the show, Mac, right now. Airline tickets for three to fly there. We're skipping Friday. We'll go to the parade and fly back. See what the tickets cost. Binkley can do the show.
Because
wouldn't you want to be part of that?
There's juice all over the place.
Wouldn't you want to be there for that parade?
How long,
right?
How long we could do this show? All right, book a flight to LaGuardia.
So, That's you know, that's what I'm looking at. I don't think you're going to be able to drive. I think people are going to do things with this. There's going to be cars that get burned. There will be violent stuff, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. How many people will go streaking through Central Park? That don't normally streak through Central Park. You got the people strung out on the subway that we saw that are doing that on a daily basis.
The immediate question in my head is it tens or hundreds of people? Like, it's going to be so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, like, do you want a nonstop to New York from MCI?
Yeah, what are we looking at?
$574 just to get there.
Yeah, okay. Maybe
yeah,
we won't be doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Points for that. I'm gonna save that for the family.
Yep. And then to get back is another $574.
Yeah. So we probably
we could
won't
act like
that.
We were there.
Yeah.
We could come in naked and say that we were streaking for celebration.
We could. Yeah.
Forget we're on camera though. Just put like a cowboy hat over the crouch area.
I mean, everybody is like you. The anticipation of what we could potentially see after Wednesday night is just. I mean. It's going to be unlike anything. Yeah, there will be people in the river. You're right. Somebody's going to try to swim to the Statue of Liberty. Somebody's going to try to scale the garden. I mean, it's going to be somebody on top of a subway train.
Do you think it's a blowout tonight?
No.
It would say
we're due for it because the first game was 10 points. Second game was one.
Mm-hmm.
So in two games, the Knicks have 11-point differential, but one is heavily weighted on the opening game. I'll tell you this.
And it's funny because those two games, you know, think about point differential. Game one, Spurs are up big time. Knicks come back, and then the fourth quarter, they get up 10. Game two, Knicks are up big time. Right. Spurs come back, and almost. So it's interesting how that's happened.
I will say this. The Garden will be similar vibes to how the Spurs probably felt game one at their own place. Like, oh, my God, we're here. The vibe is real. It's a different place.
Oh, it's going to be blackout for the first 4 minutes of that game.
But also, to the Spurs' credit, this is the first time that these people – have seen the finals in over 20-plus years.
That's right.
This is the first time these Knicks players have played in a championship game on the Garden floor. Advantage slightly to the New York Knicks, but I don't think it's the slam dunk that you might think it is where it's like, oh, home court advantage all the way. It's like, no, this is their finals too and their first feeling as well, just like the Spurs had theirs so long ago on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real shock to the system for everybody tonight. It's probably going to be the loudest NBA arena maybe we've ever heard, you know? And so you're going to be dealing, A, with that, and B, you know, you talk to athletes all the time. You go, what do you remember? I don't know. I was blacked out for the first 5 minutes. Mm. And I think that is going to be kind of the feel that we have in this game. I do think it's going to be a lot of people that are going to be blacked out for the first couple of minutes to that first TV timeout or however they do it in the NBA, you know, when they stop it for that first time. And then everybody's going to kind of come to and realize where they are, and then we'll kind of get into that flow of the game. So the first couple of minutes of this game, I would imagine, are going to be pretty sloppy because everybody's going to be so emotionally charged in this one. And then after that first timeout, all right, we're going to calm down, and then we're going to see some basketball after that.
Yeah.
That's kind of my impression.
I agree. I could definitely see that. It's going to be fun because, as you said, Dusty, advantage for the Knicks because of the crowd. But then from a basketball perspective, all the – adjustments are on the Spurs side. The Knicks have won twice. They don't really have to adjust or audible. So the strategy maybe on the Spurs side. I'm really excited. I would say don't give the Spurs don't creak that door open, man.
Well, no, and I was just gonna say all the pressure in the world is on San Antonio. The Knicks don't have any pressure. You know what? They're up 2-0 right now, and they're at home. You lose this game if you're the Spurs, it's over. It's done.
For right? Sure.
You're out. Forget about it. Unless you're the Boston Red Sox at 2004.
Yeah.
You're done. You're out. It's over. You're down 3-0, right? So that's why the pressure's on the Spurs. The Knicks have breathing room. As much as the 2-0 lead, as Dusty said, sucks, and I do agree with that.
You don't want the breathing room.
You don't want to go down 2-1. Now there's pressure on you. Now you've got to win that game because the last thing you want to do is send this thing back to game 5, tied at 2-2.
Because I'm just picturing Popovich and Wembanyama in those locker rooms going.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they forgot about us. It's over. They're already planning the parade.
Right.
Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's some of that too. Now, obviously, I don't think they're coming back 2-0, but like if they win this game, you start to kind of, those conversations creep back in really quickly.
And I think the Knicks are too smart and too talented and too much of a veteran team to allow this to happen. And say what you want. They got a veteran coach, man. That guy's seen it all.
Dude, Brunson is built different. You know, he was the only guy who didn't take any pictures with the Larry O'Brien trophy, which I loved. There's all those promo pics of those guys. He's like, I'm not going in a room by myself with the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Yeah, I haven't won anything yet.
Yes,
yeah.
Love it.
2021, last time a team trailed 2-0. That was the Milwaukee Bucks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
They trailed 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns. They end up winning four straight.
It's crazy.
And finishing the series, the Cleveland Cavaliers, obviously, trailed 3-1. And the Miami Heat in 06, they trailed.
The Dallas the Mavericks. Dirk. Yep.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit more pressure on New York tonight than there might be because you don't want to give anybody more any breath.
No, none at all. There's pressure, but the pressure's on San Antonio. If you're the Knicks, you just want to step on their throat and hold them down and end this
thing. End it tonight. Yeah.
Speaking of pressure, who has the pressure this year in the NFL? It seems like it's all quarterbacks, but there could be some coaches as well here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that sucks.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.